This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, let's finish off the show in style here with the last hour. Fan Hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. On the line now is the Post Gazette's Brian Batko. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing swell, Joe. How are you?
You sound like you're calling from a closet. What's happening there?
To put in my other AirPod?
That might be a good idea. Something's gone horribly wrong, Limits. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it could be better, but I think he's rectifying the situation here.
Limits always paints things in a bright light. All right, Brian, how are we now?
How's this sound, Joe?
Worse.
Wow. Jeez.
Would you agree with that, Limits?
I thought it sounded about the same.
I thought it sounded significantly worse. All right, let's go with it for a while. You just sound like you're in a box, but that's okay. You had a very interesting tweet that I have been unable to locate, unfortunately, but I know that you can recreate it for us. These were a couple of quotes from Arthur Smith from early in the season about Justin Fields and the lack of drama that Justin Fields brings. And I think when I and other people looked at those quotes, we wondered if old Artie was indirectly pointing to the other guy over there as one who brings just a little bit too much drama to the job. Tell us about that, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to try to locate that myself. It was right around the time that Mike Tomlin was about to go, what did he call it? Lone Ranger? Lone Wolf?
Yes.
Making this. Which, boy, is that antithetical to everything the Steelers usually do as an organization, right? Isn't it always presented as a united front? We're all on the same page here, and any player we draft, any move that we make, well, in that instance, Tomlin made it very clear through Jay Glazer that, no, he was going out on a limb there a little bit, so to speak, for Russell Wilson. So, you know, it was around that time, and Arthur Smith was asked about it, and really, since he's been here as the offensive coordinator, he has fallen on the sword of, he's had the job of being a head coach the last 3 years in Atlanta. It's no longer up to him to decide who's on the team and who starts at quarterback and things of that nature. So he made that very clear. And yeah, it was that day that I think it was just pretty much a run-of-the-mill question about Fields. And he just took it in a very unexpected and I almost thought random direction by saying, there's no drama to him. He doesn't try to live through his avatar or create a perception.
Yes.
That's probably why he was hearing to his teammates in Chicago. Extremely coachable, extremely bright. And then he went on to say another thing that he was talking about Fields' work ethic and basically what Fields ended up saying himself, that he thought he could have been even better than he was in that 4-2 start. And Arthur said, you know, it's the same thing as a play caller. You get in this business and people start making excuses or rationalizing. And then there was some other such thing he said. and put whatever they want on social media or make sure certain narratives get leaked out. He's old school.
Wow.
So I was just sitting in the press conference room that day wondering, where did that all come from?
That's crazy, man, because that's what played out later. Like, you're right. He's asked a fairly innocuous question and says, yeah, he's not the type of guy who lets or sees to it that these narratives are leaked out, because a lot of people feel like it was Russ's people who leaked the narrative that he was handcuffed at the line of scrimmage by Artie Smith to Jerry Dulac, right?
Let's go back even further than that, Joe. Remember when Russell Wilson got the nod to finally be the starter? It was reported by, I think it was Tom Pelissero, either was it the day before or the morning of Tomlin's presser that day? And then it became a sham, a ruse of trying to keep it under wraps who it was going to be all week, until George Pickens was just like, yep, getting some extra reps with Russ since he's starting.
That's crazy. I can't help but read those quotes as indirectly commenting on Russell. I don't think that's conspiracy level stuff. I think it's almost obvious. You?
Yeah, I mean, the day that I tweeted that out, I just presented it as, this is what Arthur Smith said today at the podium, and I didn't inject any sort of commentary, but immediately a lot of people in the replies went to, oh, it's clear who he's talking about. He's talking about the guy who's about to displace Justin Fields as the starter. And look, I went into the Steelers-Russell Wilson relationship with, you know, the knowledge of kind of, how could you not, the knowledge of the dysfunction in his time in Denver, especially the second season with Sean Payton. But I also wanted to keep an open mind and say, okay, it's entirely possible that he doesn't want to be one guy versus another 52, like people accused the situation of being in Seattle by the end with Pete Carroll. So I went in with an open mind that, especially when you're on a vet minimum deal, you might just have to, yeah, get in line and be one of the fellas. And, you know, I think Russell Wilson did that for the most part. I didn't see anything that made me feel like there was something amiss. But yeah, I mean, we do know that was his reputation at times in Denver, and probably more so before that in Seattle, having the quarterback guru around all the time and even in the building, which I guess Sean Payton wanted to squash. So that's why I think a lot of people were connecting the dots with those Arthur Smith comments way back in, I think it was early to mid-October.
It's funny, when I went on a search to try to find your tweet, I came across somebody randomly tweeting after Artie was fired in Atlanta as their head coach, complete with a video of the play here from his Falcons days. And this guy says, the final nail in the Arthur Smith coffin for me was when I saw our backup tight end throw a pass to our third string tight end while our first string tight end pass blocked and our starting running back and receiver jogged nothing routes in the opposite direction. I'm going to send this to you, Brian, just for your personal enjoyment. Of course, it's an incomplete pass, big surprise, in the end zone. The backup tight end throwing to the third string tight end. It reminds me of Cordarrelle Patterson, who was by that point a frozen cadaver, for a pitch out, I believe, was at the Bengals game, where he brought Cordarrelle into the game for a frozen pitch out.
Yeah, I think so, because I believe that was his only snap, let alone only
yes.
touch of the game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
His Arthur only Smith, touch.
Yeah, I mean, he had some, was it Michael Pruitt involved in that play that he said?
Yes, it was Michael Pruitt. And then of course it was Artie when he had the frozen quarterback play. The Steelers, I think that was actually, we talked about this before, Limits, was part of their strategy was they'll never think the frozen guy is going to either throw or catch the ball on this play. We'll trick him with the old frozen guy play. Pull the cadaver off the bench and give him the ball.
They never see it coming. They would not expect it. They would not put it in the game plan, Joe. Not at that course of the game.
How does this play
out?
What?
The Olaf play. Did your daughter like Frozen growing up?
Yes. I love that reference. Yeah, I like Frozen, actually. It's a tearjerker, isn't it, Brian?
It's pretty dark. It's pretty dark for a Disney movie. I mean, the one guy, Prince Hans, I think it is, the main antagonist.
Hans Janssen, former Penguins defenseman.
He was pretty evil by Disney movie villain standards. I'll say that much. Frozen 2, also not bad. Check it out.
Which of, I know you have kids at home, which of the either Disney or other movies like Toy Story, which one brings Brian Batko to tears? Toy Story 1, I mean.
Yeah, well, Toy Story 3 always gets me because they no spoilers here, but let's just say there's a very heavy scene at the end there where you think might be the end for Woody, Buzz, and company. So that one always gets me. Inside Out, because of the subject matter there, dealing with little kids and their emotions and figuring out the world.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Limits, did you seem like you could have starred in Toy Story. Some of the characters remind me of
what gives you that impression?
I don't know. You remind me of a childhood movie character. Did you watch that movie and did you cry?
I did. I watched the first two and then I watched the third, I think a couple years after it came out. Well, I mean, they came out in like the early 2000s. What am I saying? I like both of those movies. My cousins both loved those movies and I watched them when I was very young, but I don't understand where the similarities are here.
I don't know. You just remind me of some of them.
Maybe I'm like Andy, the owner of the toys.
Kind of look like he's got different hair, but you're both kind of skinny. I could see you as him as a little kid in the first movie and just similar personalities too. I don't think we get to know Andy that well in Toy Story, but I can see the similarities for sure.
Yeah, Limits remains a mystery, and he absolutely has a Jimmy Neutron hairstyle. And it's all about, Brian, you know, the loss of our childhood innocence when we believe in certain things. Like my daughter's 16, she still has a little teddy bear in her room that she had when she was little. It's all very sad in a way.
I've got something going great right now with my five-year-old. We have these two little Legos. One time we lost them. And we couldn't find them for like a day and they showed up somewhere else. And I mean, he's five. He probably forgot where he put them. And it was as simple as that, but he convinced himself that they were magic. So now when I think about it every night, like I'll move them to somewhere else in the morning and I'm pretty sure he gets it. I think he's even moved them himself now once or twice. So he's in on the joke, but we're keeping that alive as much as we can on a daily basis.
Well, there was one time we lost Teddy. He's a little, I think he was a Penguins giveaway. So he had a Penguins jacket on, Teddy. And we lost him in a Baltimore hotel on our way to Cape May one summer and thought that Teddy was gone forever. And this happened shortly after I accidentally flushed her frog named Froggy down the basement sink. So it was a traumatic period for her. But then all of a sudden, one day in a box at our house, Teddy arrives. The guy, somebody found it at the hotel, the waterfront Marriott, the inner city, inner harbor Marriott in Baltimore, found Teddy and sent it to us. And it was one of the most miraculous days of our lives. There's Teddy in a box arriving.
What's worse, the feeling that you get when you think you almost know that you've lost something or the joy that comes with realizing that it's been found?
What a great question. That's why this guy lifts all them weights, Limits. Which is better, the horror that you've lost your wallet or phone, or the elation upon finding it?
The elation upon finding it, by far. Like it's so relieving. It's a sense of relaxation. It's like those YouTube TV commercials where this is like your 5 seconds of relaxing before returning to the show. That's how I feel when I receive my wallet back or when I find it.
Do you agree with that, Brian?
It is one of the greatest highs, but the only thing that takes away from it a little bit is I always just end up feeling like such an idiot for either putting it somewhere I shouldn't have or doing something I shouldn't have that allowed me to lose track of whatever it is. I mean, certainly when you feel like something's gone forever, I did just lose something forever and it's not a tangible thing. It's like, do you use the Notes app at all on your phone, Joe?
No, I can't even lock my phone properly, which is why I butt dial like 19 people a day.
I do, Brian.
Yeah. You probably still use a notebook and a real pen, but I just use the digital Notes app for everything, jot down ideas. I lost 3 to 4 months of them that are just gone now I guess they weren't in the cloud, which is the issue, or they're in a cloud that has now floated away, never to have them back. So that's pretty depressing.
Brian Batko of the Post Gazette can read his stuff at postgazette.com. All right. Many questions, short amount of time. So short answers preferred. Who's going to be the Steelers quarterback next season?
I still lean toward Justin Fields, I read about him last week, sort of inspired by your column from Wednesday.
Okay. How about Najee? Our colleague Jerry Dulac feels like there's actually a pretty good chance he's going to be back, which could have knocked me over with a feather when I read that. Do you agree? Is he going? Are we going to run this back with him and Jalen?
I don't think so. I thought from the moment they turned down the option that Najee was, a lame duck in the offense.
I agree with that. How about Pickens? Will he get traded?
Well, you wanted them to extend Najee at one point last year, right?
I did.
Resign him?
Yes, I did.
Mid-season.
For 3 years and what was it, $24 million? I thought he was playing his best football, and then soon after he was playing his worst football, and now I just feel like the total body of work tells me it couldn't be more obvious to move on, Brian.
Yeah, I agree. And turning down the option when you can cost control a player for an additional year, what would they call that? Like throwing good money after bad?
Yes, the very definition of that. Yes.
Okay, George Pickens. I don't know. I really waffle on George Pickens every day, which is probably appropriate because the entire George Pickens experience has been one of many jubilant highs and frustrating lows. I tend to think that he'll be on the team because there's, I think, two avenues to that happening versus one avenue to him being gone, which would be a trade. But I don't feel great about that at all.
How about the first round pick? Do you think, I don't need a player necessarily, but what position?
I'll say wide receiver, tying that in with the George Pickens drama, but defensive line close behind.
Brian, you're a wonderful man. I'm sorry we got sidetracked, but that was actually very enjoyable and good sleuthing there on those old Artie Smith quotes. Thank you.
I prefer when we get sidetracked. Bye, gentlemen.
See you, buddy. What a nice man he is. Unlimits. Are there many nicer besides Jerry DePaula?
I'm sitting over here still thinking about what happened to Froggy.
Yeah, I've told you. Did I tell you that story?
Yeah, poor Froggy. Yeah.
I mean,
how does that happen?
Well, as I explained before, maybe you weren't here, Froggy was one of those miniature frogs, right? You know, we got them at the toy store at the Galleria.
Miniature frogs. So, like, frogs are obviously small.
No, this one was like the size of a thimble, one of those tiny little things.
Oh, okay.
They have their own little habitat, and it's very exciting if you're 4 years old like she was. And like with everything, you don't realize the responsibilities involved when you bring anything into your house that's living. And even Froggy, little as he was a responsibility, and I had to change the water. So when you change the water, you first put a bowl of clean water up on the dishwasher and pour, you know, lift Froggy out with one of those things you clean a pool with, like a mesh.
Little strainer.
And you dump him in the clean water, right? Then you take the dirty water and you pour it out, okay?
Yeah.
So you clean the cage, put the little rocks back in. There's like little salt. You know what I'm talking
about? Froggy in a fish tank?
No, he has his own tank. It's a tiny little tank. It's a frog tank. You build it yourself. That's half the fun. It's like Build-A-Bear, but it's Build-A-Froggy.
Build-A-Froggy.
You build your own tank. Oh, you get to pick the color of the rocks, the habitat, all the, of course, it costs, you know, an arm and a leg, everything you choose. So once you clean the tank, you then have to pour Froggy back into the tank.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That transfers where there was the problem. Is that Froggy fell out of the bowl on his way back to the tank and went, you know, he couldn't just fall in the sink where I could pick him up and grab him.
Yeah.
He fell right into the drain, Froggy. Like, went right down the drain, which is the size, well, of any sink drain, right?
I'm guessing you didn't know how to undo those pipings to be able to get Froggy out of the pipe.
Froggy was in the Atlantic Ocean in about 2 minutes.
I don't know about that.
Well, wherever you go, he was gone.
Was the water running at the time in your sink?
I can't remember. He was gone. I'm not digging up the pipe. Yes, I think it was running because I had everything running to clean out the tank.
Then, yeah.
So
Froggy got swept away, unfortunately.
Then for the next year, literally every day,
I know this.
And it had to have created some trauma, and it was 100% my fault. Is where's Froggy?
Where's Froggy?
I want Froggy. And as people told me the last time I brought this up, you should have just gone out and gotten a new frog and put him in the thing, and she never would have known the difference. But me being the idiot I am, that never occurred to me.
Froggy 2.0.
So this is our first lesson on, you know, people and frogs move on eventually, hopefully to a good place.
I hope so.
That was horrible. It was horrifying. It really was. To see the empty tank with no Froggy. I mean, think about that. You're 4 years old.
Poor Froggy.
Poor Froggy. Is Froggy still? What are the chances that Froggy's alive somewhere? Because he went into water somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think Froggy's got a shot.
It was like 12 years ago.
A chance for Froggy?
Maybe Froggy went somewhere. He's across the ocean. Maybe he's a king frog somewhere in Switzerland.
You know how far away we are from the ocean? Why are you divulging to the ocean? Froggy might have made his way to the Mon or something.
Well, yeah, but sometimes if you get lucky, you then get to go to the ocean, right? Do you graduate like that?
I don't know. You put Froggy in a very difficult position to be able to do that, so I don't know if that's the case.
It was sad. There's nothing funny about this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're in the What's Cooking segment, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. All right, let's finish by hopping on the Limitless Express. Limits, take us for a little ride, will you?
All righty, Joe. Let's do an abbreviated one real quickly because Trevor Lawrence had some things to say about the possibility of coming to Pittsburgh, saying, quote, I'm not going to Pittsburgh. So Lawrence was asked about this when he was talking with Kay Adams in an interview Monday on her Up and Adams show. Mm. And Lawrence said, "That's funny. I didn't really see anything. My agent texted me and was like, hey, this is bleep. And then, of course, I saw it after he texted me and said, is this a report? This is a report that's out there. I don't think there's anything to it, but I'll check into it." And Lawrence said, "I saw it. It's funny, though, when he sent it to me, being the agent, I wouldn't say your heart drops, but you're kind of like, what?" And he also mentioned that he had a no trade in his contract, so we know that it just wouldn't have happened anyway. But he said he doesn't want to leave Jacksonville, and he's happy he's not going to Pittsburgh.
Did he mention anything about, yeah, aren't the Steelers, don't they have that receiver that quits on routes and also the offense from 1974? Anything about that?
What he did say is, I'd have to be on board with it, which I'm not.
Next.
All right. Next up, that was one of my main topics I thought we were going to talk about and riff on for a little bit while, but it's the first day.
I didn't know you wanted to talk about it more. That story was debunked. That's all I had for you there.
Didn't it seem like kind of firm that like Trevor Lawrence saying, I'd have to be on board with it. I'm not. I'm happy here. I don't want to go there. Like, didn't that seem kind of like staunch in his...
Me thinks he doth protest too much? Is that where you're going there?
A little bit.
You think he actually does want to maybe?
No, I'm thinking like it seemed like he was very, very emphatic about not wanting to go to the Steelers.
Too emphatic for your taste.
Just a little bit, yeah. Like, is that a little disrespectful to the Steelers?
Oh, okay. Then that's what you're saying. I don't know. Do they deserve respect on the offensive side of the ball these days?
No, but if a player is, you know, openly disrespecting them in a way, I think that's notable.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. One more, oh, limitless wonder.
Other thing I had today is that pitchers and catchers have officially reported. Today was the first full squad workout for the Pirates with Tommy Pham, We Are Family, taking some at-bats, and many others. Your initial thoughts on the Buccos, your quick assessment of them as they begin spring training today fully.
Well, we went over this earlier. I was way more optimistic last year at this time. I felt like, they went out and they made a pretty significant signing in Aroldis Chapman. There was a lot of optimism around Key Brian Hayes, who wasn't a good hitter for just 1 month the year before. His final 3 months, he missed July, but June, August, and September, he hit like an all-star. I was optimistic about him. I was optimistic about Skeens joining the team. Jared Jones looked like he was going to be a good pitcher, and he was. Those were two reasons to be optimistic. Henry Davis, I thought, okay, here's a guy. This is it, man. He's going to take off here at the beginning. They've got the looks of a pretty good lineup. I don't feel any of that this year, other than Skeens is going to be unbelievable. And Bubba Chandler, I think, has a chance to be obviously really good. But I felt, honestly, I felt more optimistic and excited last year at this time than I do now. You?
The text line was going crazy on Froggy also, by the way. But yes, I was a lot more interested and optimistic last year. Like, I'm very interested to see what they do this year with Skeens.
What did
Jones.
They say about Froggy?
People are wondering, maybe Froggy is still in the drain trap. Somebody else says, Froggy is in the great lily pad in the sky. The lily pad in the sky.
I think he probably is. Even if he was in the drain, he would have been disintegrated by now.
Somebody else said, Froggy needs air to breathe. He's not a fish, Joe.
He does? No, but he swam in the water all the time.
Yeah, but he needs air. Like, if you're running the water and he's in the pipes, that's not good for Froggy.
Well, no, that's happened 12. Froggy's long since gone to the lily pad in the sky. Thank you, Limits. We'll reunite tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.